Today's episode of the Locked On Sabres podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order.
Your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Sabres podcast. Joe DiBiase at Sneaky Joe Sports joining you solo today on a beautiful Tuesday morning, although here in Buffalo it's looking stormy, so it depends when you're listening to this. We have not recorded since Saturday morning before the second round of the NHL draft and day two of the NHL draft. A lot has happened since then. We did kind of talk about the Sam Reinhart trade as we pretty much did pretty well at guessing and knowing what was going to happen. So a little bit on the Reinhart trade on today's episode and our free agency preview. I got a couple of players that I think make a lot of sense for the Sabres in unrestricted free agency, which gets going on Wednesday afternoon. So that's coming your way. No Jordan Hanskin today. Jordan actually drove back to North Carolina. So if you don't know, Jordan lives in Buffalo during the summer with his family. And then he drives down to North Carolina. That's really where he sets up shop for the year. He's a teacher at a high school down there and an assistant football coach. As he kind of got out of the game of being a reporter, he used to be down at the Meadville Tribune in Pennsylvania. So he still does the podcast, but he's having a couple of – he had a travel day and then unpacking, getting settled. So just me today. Jordan will rejoin me probably after free agency, depending. You know, free agency is going to go on for a while, but we'll see if the Sabres do anything on Wednesday. So previewing free agency, but before we get to that, some housekeeping to take care of. We know the Sam Reinhart return. The last time we spoke, we pretty much knew it, but we were one piece too many. We thought the Sabres might be getting Frank Vetrano, winger, a veteran winger in the deal. They did not. They got Devin Levi, the goaltending prospect, who was a seventh-round pick a couple years ago, but has had, actually last year, but has had an incredible year of development, one of the best World Junior tournaments a Canadian goalie has ever had at this past World Juniors. He's going to play college hockey at Northeastern, and a first round pick next year from the Florida Panthers that will be top 10 protected. So should the Panthers have a surprisingly bad year, then the Sabres will not be able to have that draft pick. It will go to 2023, and that's it for Sam Reinhart. And yes, that's a little deflating. It's a little deflating after the Reinhart, the Ristolainen return that we were all over the moon about. I mean, how could you not be? A first-round pick that was high, 13th overall. It's going to be a lot higher probably than the Panthers pick. And then a defensive player that was thrown in, Robert Hagg, as well as a second-round pick in 2 years. And then Reinhart, it looks like all you're going to get is a late first and a guy that you would hope, you would be lucky, I think, to have him become a starting goalie in the NHL. But the one thing the Sabres did do is shore up their net. They add Levi to Lukanen and Portillo. Eric Portillo is going to start for Michigan this year in the NCAA, and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who should start for the Rochester Americans. You now have three pretty quality goaltending prospects in the system, and you're just increasing the probability that one of those guys becomes a franchise goaltender. So on that front, I like it. I just didn't like that it had to come in one of the major trades that the Sabres were pulling off. Dave Pagnotta from the Fourth Period reported that the Sabres had talked to the Panthers about Jack Eichel before the Sam Reinhart trade, and that the Sabres' ask for Eichel was Spencer Knight, the goaltending prospect that might be considered the number one goalie prospect in the world. Why were the Sabres looking for a goaltender as one of the main pieces getting back in a Reinhart or Eichel deal? That philosophy I don't necessarily love, but they did shore up their net in the prospect pool. They shouldn't have to add to that position in the next few years because, again, one of those three guys should turn out. So pretty disappointing, I would say, on the Reinhart return. It does make some sense as to why it happened that way, that he's got 1 year left on his deal. The forward market did not appear to be all that good. Pavel Buchnevich, earlier on Friday afternoon, who was almost a point of game player last year for the Rangers, goes for a second-round pick and a fourth liner. So I guess it wasn't stunning, and it makes some sense as to why Reinhart went for so little. But still, disappointing because that was a great player, a more valuable player than Ristolainen, and he went for less. In totality, the two deals combined, it doesn't look that bad, but did not like the Reinhardt deal, personally. Some housekeeping, the Sabres give qualifying offers to restricted free agents Rasmus Dahlin, Henry Okiharju, Casey Mittelstadt, Rasmus Asplund, and Casey Fitzgerald. No surprises there. No offers for Stefanos Lekas or Dawson DiPietro. Lekas wasn't even really a prospect. He was the guy they signed just to play last year because they were running out of goalies. And then Dawson DiPietro didn't play for Rochester last year. I don't really know what's going on with him, but probably not somebody that was going to matter to their organization anyway. So no surprises there. Free agency gets going on Wednesday afternoon. And now the Sabres, because they have not traded Jack Eichel to this point, and we'll see if they even do before the start of the season, they will be $16 million under the cap floor. And by the way, actually, while we're on an Eichel trade at all, I'm just seeing, as I'm recording this, what time is it, 11:45 on Tuesday morning, that the Vegas Golden Knights are trading Marc-Andre Fleury to the Chicago Blackhawks in exchange for nothing. Nothing. They are sending Fleury to Chicago. That's it. The trade is done. Elliot Friedman is saying Fleury could choose to retire, and that Jesse Granger is now saying that Fleury found out through Twitter. So wow, a lot happening in, I mean, one scroll of Twitter there for me. Fleury to Chicago for nothing, which, I mean, isn't that crazy that the Vezina winner got traded for nothing, but it's because of the salary. Now also, Vegas just picked up $7.5 million in cap space, and we've talked about them a lot as a potential Jack Eichel trade suitor. And just to revisit why I think they make a lot of sense, they have the motivation and the need to get Jack Eichel as a number one franchise level center. They have been ultra aggressive in past years. Ever since they made the Cup Finals as an inaugural expansion franchise, they have been chasing getting back to that and looking for that final piece. They thought it was Max Pacioretty and Mark Stone as star wingers. That didn't put them over the hump. They thought they needed a franchise-level defenseman in Alex Pietrangelo, and that didn't put them over the hump. But they signed him to a monster 7-year deal, $8.8 million per year. Marc-Andre Fleury had a down year, so all right, we need to shore up our net. Let's go trade for and sign Robin Lehner. This team, every time they have a hole, they go big. And I think right now, you would look at their roster and think, the one thing they don't have, they have a very good blue line with Pietrangelo and Shea Theodore. They have a very good starting goaltender in Robin Lehner. They have great wingers led by Stone, Pacioretty, Marchessault, Riley Smith. What don't they have? They don't have star-level talent down the middle. They don't have the centerman. William Karlsson, he's a top six center in this sport. He is not worth the reputation of a 40-goal scorer like he had a couple of years ago, but he is still a very good second-line center in the league. But he's being asked to be the number one center on that team, and who else they got? Chandler Stephenson was playing second-line center for them, definitely more of a third or even a fourth-line center. They did trade for Nolan Patrick from the Philadelphia Flyers, but that guy has had so many concussion issues over the past couple of years, and even in addition to that, he hasn't been all that great in the first place. He's been okay. No, that guy should not be your answer as a number one center. Eichel would be their answer as a number one center. They have good prospects. Peyton Krabs. They traded Cody Glass away, actually, so maybe Nolan Patrick would end up being a guy that the Sabres could acquire as well. But Peyton Krabs would be the number one guy that you would be looking for. They have a couple other prospects they could throw in, as well as first-round picks. Vegas has now the cap space. Better cap space to be able to pull this thing off, and they have the motivation. So keep an eye on the Golden Knights if an Eichel trade happens in the coming days. But anyways, where I was heading there is free agency. Our free agency preview, the Sabres before an Eichel trade are $16 million under the cap floor, and they are going to have to spend money, whether they like it or not, whether they want to or not, they have to spend money. Now, a lot of those restricted free agents that I just mentioned, they're going to eat up a lot of that. You know, What's Henry Okihara going to end up coming in about? $2 million, maybe? All right, that's $2 million. And then Asplund comes in at $1.5 million. And then Mittelstadt comes in at $2 million. And Dahlin is the one that's really interesting right now as to whether they want to sign him to a long-term, big-level contract. Jordan Hanskin on our last podcast said, why don't we offer him 8 years, $7 million per year? That's probably more than he's worth right now, $7 million per year. But if he projects out and does become that Norris-level defenseman, it could be one of the best value contracts in the sport for a very long time. So that, of course, if they were to go that direction, the Sabres, then that would eat up a lot of that dollar amount that you are under the cap floor, $7 million plus those other contracts you just mentioned. All right, boom, right there. I'm already at $12 million. Got to sign a goalie, and that's going to put me over the top. Now, if they want to sign Dahlin to a bridge contract, then they are going to have to sign probably one big ticket free agent or find a couple to pay, you know, decent $2 to $3-4 million contracts to. That is all without a Jack Eichel trade. With a Jack Eichel trade, they got to get a lot of money. That's why they almost have to take money back in an Eichel deal. They got to get a lot of money on their books. Now, this all leads me to some of their own guys. And the first one I want to look at is Linus Ullmark. I love the idea of going to Linus Ullmark, giving him the exact dollar amount he wants. That's right, no negotiation. The exact dollar amount he wants. If he's looking for $5.5 million a year, which to me is above his market right now. I don't think he gets that on the open market. $5.5 million. You say, all right, Linus, we will give you the $5.5 million because we're in a spot here anyway, but we're only doing it for 2 years because you've got injury questions. You can't stay healthy. You need to prove to us you can stay healthy. And you'll still be only 29 years old for a goalie that's not old by any means. In 2 years, you can hit the market again. If it goes well, you could cash out or you can continue to be our number one starting goaltender. I think that's how you approach the Linus Ullmark negotiations. And I love the idea of him more than any other goalie that is currently on the market, because even guys like Philip Grubauer is a couple years older. The older veterans, of course. I mean, Mike Smiths and Tuukka Rasks. I mean, if you're going to overpay a goalie, why not make it one that is 27 years old in Linus Ullmark? And because we're entering this rebuild, and it could take 3-4 years before you're really good, a guy at 27, hey, he could really still be a really strong player for you in 3-4 years. He could be a part of your future in his early 30s. Whereas you sign some guy that's on the back end of his career, and you're just wasting time. There's no upside to that deal other than to fill out a roster spot and to fill out cap space. Ullmark still presents you as, hey, at 29 years old, 30 years old, I could still be this team's number one goaltender, and maybe there's not as much pressure on those goalie prospects that we talked about earlier. So I think they should try to approach the Ullmark negotiations that way, and I think there's a good chance Ullmark will stay here. I think there's a good chance Ullmark will stay here because I think it's really unlikely that he's going to find above $5.5 million somewhere and have the net all to himself, because he is going to be this team's number one goalie next year if he is here. And maybe he does find $5.5 million elsewhere, but is he going to find any other team that's going to make him the bona fide starting goalie, the number one? I think he'll have a tough time checking both of those boxes, and I think he could check both of those boxes here in Buffalo. Other, by the way, free agents the Sabres have, Jake McCabe. I don't know, it sounds pretty pessimistic that he's going to return here, and that's fine. I mean, McCabe should want to get out. He's been in this league for a while. Same logic applies when I talk about Reinhardt and Eichel and Ristolainen for this. You've been here long enough that you want to be on a winner before your career is over. And McCabe is not like a Jack Eichel or a Sam Reinhardt. He's got extra years on those guys, 27 years old. I mean, he's gonna want to find a winner quick, because you never know how long your career is gonna last. That guy could be out of the league in 4 or 5 years. So, you know, go to a winner, go enjoy some success. No qualms at all about Jake McCabe wanting out of here. As for a couple of players that are not on the Sabres that will hit the open market on Wednesday that I would like to see them sign or explore, they're actually not guys that we thought were going to be unrestricted free agents until a couple of days ago. I'm wanting the Sabres to go look at that market of players that were not qualified, that were restricted free agents, and now are becoming unrestricted free agents. I don't want to be big game hunting. I mean, yeah, you could make an argument. Let's go pay Dougie Hamilton $9 million a year because we can outbid anybody. And he's 28 years old. So, like, all right, good years left. But the rebuild is going to take a couple of years, and I think Dougie Hamilton is a phenomenal defenseman, one of the best in the sport, but I don't know that he's still going to be that in 3 years when he's 31 years old, and I don't want to be investing another $9 million contract in my future when I've already got the Jeff Skinner deal on my books. So I love the player in Hamilton, but I wouldn't be big game chasing like that. I'm looking at the free agent list right now. Like, Ovechkin, obviously, is a fairy tale. Landis Cog, same thing as Hamilton, 28 years old. Yeah, he's a really good player, but how good is he going to be for me in 3 years? Plus, Landis Cog's not coming here anyway because he's coming from Colorado, and that guy just tasted success finally, or getting a couple of playoff series wins under his belt, and he's going to want to take the next step, not take a step back to a rebuilding organization. There's not a lot of other guys that really make sense for me other than these RFAs that were not qualified. And let's start in Boston. The Bruins decide not to qualify forwards Nick Ritchie and Andre Cache. Now, starting with Ritchie, Ritchie is a better idea for me than Cache because Ritchie does not have the injury questions. Richie's a power forward, power winger. He's only 25 years old, so the age range fits for what the Sabres are trying to do. He's coming off a career year, goal scoring wise, 15 goals in 56 games played. Now, I don't believe that he is that level of goal scorer in the league year to year. That is a 25 goal pace, just under 25 goal pace. That's not going to be who he is. That's a 12.5% shooting percentage when his career average is 9.5%. I think he's going to regress a little bit when it comes to the goal scoring, but we saw it. He's at least capable of it. He can have years here and there where he's a 20-goal scorer, but mostly he's around, you know, 10 to 15 goals is kind of what his career benchmark is. 137 points in 350 career games, so that projects out to 32 points for every 82 games played. This is a big-bodied guy, though. Like, you're getting Richie because he is a force. I mean, 6'2", 234, but he is a machine out there, hitting everything that moves, crushing guys left and right. Reminds me a lot of a more aggressive Marcus Foligno. It's like if Marcus Foligno had a little of little Patrick Kaleta to his aggressiveness. Good two-way player as well. I think he can play in your top six if you need him to, kind of similar to Marcus Foligno, but in reality, you'd probably rather have him playing on your third line. But again, the age fits here. You can go for at least that one or two big physical forwards that can also produce in your bottom six. So I like the idea of signing Richie. Not a big expensive contract either. What are you looking at? $2.5-3 million at most. I can't believe it'd be much more than that. And then Cache is interesting too. He's a better offensive player than Nick Ritchie. I mean, he was a hot commodity when Anaheim traded him a year and a half ago. In Anaheim, over a three-year stretch from 2017 to 2020, he's only 25 years old, by the way, also, he had a stretch of 81 points in 145 games. But he has battled concussion issues since he got to Boston a year and a half ago. He has just 20 games of action for the Bruins, and I think you'd have to take a flyer on him. Richie, I'd be okay signing him, do like a 3-4 year deal, whereas Cache, I think 1 year tops to see if he could stay healthy, but kind of a buy low candidate, see if the guy can get back on the ice, because if he can, it's a really quality offensive player that could be a second line winger for you for a long time if he were to stay healthy, but very risky. And then the other player that's kind of along the same lines as Richie and Cache, same thing, 25 years old, that his team did not qualify him in the Chicago Blackhawks, Pius Suter. Center for the Blackhawks last year, a great Swiss player that did awesome in the Swiss Hockey League for a few years. He signed in Chicago as an undrafted free agent, kind of took that Arttu Ruotsalainen path. But first year in the NHL, he got a big opportunity to play at 24 years old. In 55 games played, first taste of the NHL, 14 goals, 13 assists for 27 points. All right, 40 to 45 point player in his first NHL action, 20 goal plus pace over 82 games. A guy that could fit right in as the Sabres' number two centerman for next year. And then if the team starts to get better with the young pieces around these other guys, then maybe Suter could slot in as a third liner. And he has the positional flexibility to play on the wing as well. So it's the same thing. Like, take a buy low approach on a young guy that is not 28, 29 years old. And I'm hoping he's still going to be producing for me in his 30s. Take a guy that could actually mean something to the future of this organization. So Pius Suter, Nick Ritchie, Andre Kosher, three players that under-the-radar players I'd want the Sabres to be targeting in unrestricted free agency. But yeah, crazy episode. We got some news. Marc-Andre Fleury to the Chicago Blackhawks for nothing. I'm actually going to be recording with Mike DiStefano of Locked On Leafs on the Locked On NHL podcast in the coming minutes right after this. So if you're listening to this and you want more on the Fleury trade, head over to Locked On NHL because they'll be up at about the same time. Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you after free agency here on the Locked On NHL podcast, on the Locked On Sabres podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.